Welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 212 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. Today's podcast will be continuing our series on Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17 from the New Living Translation. This is going to be part 10. If you've missed any part from the series, again, I'll strongly encourage you to go back and take a look at that. So I'll read from verse 12. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 13. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne, yet you have remained loyal to me. You refused to deny me even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. Verse 14. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who taught Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. That's pretty much where we stopped last time. So we'll go to verse 15 now. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. So let's talk about the problem with these Nicolaitans. These Nicolaitans, there were people that actually reflect a pretty common mantra of that we see in many churches today, or amongst many Christians today. What was the problem with the Nicolaitans? These were people that essentially, you know, they had the tag of Christianity. You know, maybe they had said a prayer of salvation or whatever. But they pretty much believed that, oh, once you've said the prayer of salvation or whatever, then every single, you know, you're automatically forgiven of any bad thing you keep doing, for example. Maybe let me break it down in a simpler term. Basically, in simpler terms, these people basically believe that, I'm sure many of you have heard some of these, this popular term that once saved, forever saved. That the moment you give your life to Christ, that heaven is sure for you. Heaven is guaranteed. It doesn't matter what you do. That's basically the principle of the Nicolaitans. And Jesus Christ is saying in Revelation chapter 2 verse 15 that he does not like that teaching. Because basically the Nicolaitans are people that believe that grace is a license to sin. The thing is, when God has saved you from sin, when you've surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not all that's necessary for you to get to heaven. The thing is, your life actually has to change. Because here's one thing. Many people have been saved, but they have not been converted. You give your life to Christ. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me of all my sins. Give me a brand new beginning. Everything. And if you've not, I'll give you an opportunity at the end of today's podcast. But beyond that, your life has to change. You know, since I know that quite a number of people in medical science listen to this, let me maybe give an example. So let's say you have a patient that has a heart attack. But thankfully, the heart attack is caught on time, right? The person has symptoms and within like 5-10 minutes, somehow they're in a hospital. And within like 30 minutes, a stent has been placed in their heart. So everything goes perfectly. That patient, before they leave the hospital, a big chunk of what they get before they leave the hospital is a lot of counseling and a lot of medication. They're going to be put on multiple medications. They're going to be followed up probably in a heart failure clinic. You're going to recommend all these lifestyle changes. Eat food that's low in salt. Try to eat low carb meals. Try to exercise, you know, 30 minutes a day. You know, moderate intensity, 5 days at least a week, blah, 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 blah. So they will get all those things. Before that person had the heart attack, and after that person has a heart attack, you can tell that something has changed. Many people, after they have a heart attack, if they are truly following their doctor's advice, their lives change dramatically. The same behaviors they had, the kinds of meals they ate, their level of physical activity, certain behaviors they had, like taking a ton of alcohol and all those things, they pretty much stop those things because they know if you don't stop this thing, you're going to end up worse than where you started, aka this heart attack, you know. Because when people have like a second or a third heart attack, they probably won't survive it. They probably die. So that was basically that's just, I think that analogy perfectly encapsulates why grace is not a license to sin. Right? After you get that cardiac cath, and a stent is placed in your coronary arteries, it's almost like you get a second chance at life. But if you go back to your old ways, that cardiac cath is not going to matter. That cardiac cath is going to cause you problems still. So that's the same thing, somewhat similar thing when you give your life to Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you're telling God that, see, these things I used to do before, I'm not going to do them anymore. You know, I've lived a life of sin, lived a life of disobedience to your will. I have lived for my own will and way. So I'm going to change, right? So the thing is, many people use the word repentance. Repentance is not just by what you say. Repentance is also by a change in behavior. It's almost like, oh, what are those spiritual things that you used to do, those behavioral things you used to do that do not please God? You can't be doing those same things after you say that, wow, I've been saved by Christ. No, then you've not truly been saved in the first place. That's the truth. Any kind of repentance, the hallmark of repentance is a behavioral change, right? In fact, if you look at verse 16 of this reading, pretty much the next verse, it says, repent of your sin. God did not say a prayer of salvation. No, he said repent. Repentance includes saying that prayer of salvation, but repentance also includes changing your behavior. Because a person that gets a stent placed in their coronary vessels and doesn't change their behavior, they will have another heart attack. It's just a matter of when. That's just the truth, right? So the thing is, when you give your life to Christ and you say the prayer of salvation, God changes your heart. You are born again. Everything is brand new, right? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new, right? Everything changes, but you have to walk in consciousness of that being born again. Your life has to change. You have to repent. Repentance, confession of sin is part of it. Asking for forgiveness is part of it. Praying for salvation is part of it. But your behavior change, living for Christ, is also a critical part of it. So please, once saved, forever saved, is Nicolaitan teaching. And it's very common in the world we live in today. Right? We see some of these churches that say, oh, just give your life to Christ and you will for sure make heaven. No. Saying that prayer of salvation, let me tell you right now, does not mean that you will go to heaven. You have to say that prayer of salvation, but genuinely in your heart, but your behavior and your life actually has to change. Because, I mean, think about it. If you say the prayer of salvation and your behavior does not change, that's like an empty promise that you are making to God. People make empty promises all the time. Oh, you know what? I'm going to lose weight this year. But they don't change anything about their behavior. They still eat the same way. They still don't exercise or anything. Then those things they said, they didn't really mean them in the first place. So here's the thing. When you say you surrendered your life to Christ, but your behavior does not change, you did not really mean that commitment in the first place. Because let me tell you this, some people use the prayer of salvation as almost like an anti-anxiety medication or an anti-guilty medication. You know, they feel guilty for something bad they've done. They did that thing knowingly. They did that thing willingly. And then they go to God and say, God, have mercy on me. I am so sorry. I didn't mean to do all these things. And the God we serve is a merciful God. He has mercy on them. But they were just saying those prayers just so that they can feel good on the inside, right? So they can be absolved of their sins on the inside. So they can feel like, oh, okay, man, I have a clean slate. Because let me tell you this, there's no human being that does not like a clean slate. People like that clean slate. People like that fresh start. Why do you think people move? Why do you think that people move all around the country? You know, they move from one place to the other. Or they're like, oh, I want to start this new relationship or this or that. They want that fresh slate, right? But the thing is, many times people want a fresh slate and they are not willing to do the things that are meant for a fresh slate. Because I'm telling you this, saying a prayer of salvation is not going to, it is a component, but it's not the end all be all, right? You see some people, they believe that, oh, they want to turn their lives around. So they move to a different city. They're like, okay, if I move to this different city, I'll turn my life around. No. Yeah, you can move to a different city. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you move to that different city and you still have the exact same behavior, guess what? Guess what? Those same life problems you had in the previous city, you have those exact same problems in that new city, right? Or you see some people, they're like, oh, let me cut off from this thing and then things will be different. No, you have to change on the inside. That's the thing, like these days, I've said this many times on this podcast, but we have many churches that preach a form of Christianity that involves no responsibility on the part of the person. No. What did Jesus Christ say? Jesus Christ said, if any man will follow me, let him carry his cross daily. So that means you have to carry your own cross daily, right? And if you even look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, seeing that we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And that sin that so easily besets us, it says, let us lay aside. So that laying aside, guess what? You have to do it. No one can do it for you. Yeah, God will supply the grace. The Holy Spirit will supply the power. But you have to make that conscious, deliberate choice to let go of those things. You have to make that conscious, deliberate choice. So again, I'm just encouraging you today. Don't just see the prayer of salvation and say, oh, okay, I'm going to go back to my old life. Then you did not truly believe in God. You've not truly made any change, right? True repentance, the hallmark of true repentance, besides saying the prayer of salvation and surrendering to God, surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, is also taking responsibility and not going back in your old ways, right? Going back to your old ways. Don't be like that dog that returns back to its vomit, right? Don't be like that dog that returns back to his vomit. Because I'm telling you this, many people, because even there is a part of Ecclesiastes, I believe, that says that don't offer mindless offerings to God. Don't offer mindless sacrifices to God. Many people, the prayer of salvation for them is a mindless sacrifice. They literally don't count the cost. Like, it's a real commitment that is being made. It's literally a real commitment that's being made. So when you're surrendering your life to Christ, think about it and ask yourself, is this something I really want to do? Is it, right? Because honestly, it's not enough to just say, oh, let me collect prayers of salvation. Oh, wow, I preached today and 500 people were saved. No, it doesn't matter if you've said the prayer of salvation, if your behavior has not changed, if your life has not changed, right? Your life truly has to change. So count that cost. I feel like if more people counted the costs of the commitments they were making, they would make commitments with wisdom. They will take their commitments more seriously. I mean, let me tell you this. Is surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ the commitment you should make? Yes, it is a commitment you should make. It is a commitment you should make. But I will encourage you, as you're making that commitment, count the cost. It's an important commitment. I just kind of think of it as marriage, right? Many people, right, they get married because, oh, man, I just want to be able to, you know, they just get married on a whim. They don't think about the commitment. Marriage is a lot more than just going to a church or going to a court and in the presence of witnesses, signing a form, having a rehearsal party and then the real wedding and, oh, wow, I love you so much. I love you so much. You say your vows. It's a lot more serious than that. When you get married, you're becoming one with someone. When you get married, you're signing up for many things like having kids, right? Being committed to one person for the rest of your life, right? So as you're making that commitment, because many people, you know, the euphoria of marriage, you know, the euphoria of the first few days of marriage, they think that, wow, that's how marriage is always going to be. No, no. There are some days where marriage is going to feel annoying to you and everything. But because you made that commitment, you stick with it. You don't just say, I'm going to get a divorce or we're going to get separated. No, because God hates divorce. He does. If you look at the book of Malachi, it clearly states that God hates divorce. So I'm encouraging you today, right? Because really, the prayer of salvation, that commitment to Christ, is a commitment you should make, right? Because the thing is, again, there is no other way to be saved other than first starting off with surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Right? So the thing is, salvation is through Christ alone. That's the truth. Salvation is through Christ alone. Right? And the thing is, you don't want to live with this YOLO mindset. You only live once. That's not a concept of Christianity. Because beyond this earth, if you were to die today, where are you going? Right? One of the ways you can kickstart yourself on that journey of making it to heaven is surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But beyond that, right? So that's entering the narrow gate. Beyond entering that narrow gate, you also have to walk that narrow way that few find, right? Not the broad way that many people take. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean in your blood. Come into my heart. Give me a brand new beginning. Come and be my Lord and my Savior. Cleanse me of all my sins. Write my name in the book of life. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, I pray for those that have just surrendered their lives to you. I pray that you strengthen them to do your will. They have taken that first step of saying that prayer of salvation, of committing their lives to you. Help them, Lord, to live out that commitment. Supply them with the grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to live out that commitment. Living out that commitment sometimes feels good. Living out that commitment sometimes feels difficult. It will be difficult sometimes. Carrying a cross is very heavy. But Lord, please help these people that have just given their lives to you and us to live out those commitments, right? Your word says in the book of Psalms that, you know, a man that swears to his own hurt and still fulfills his bond, right? So you make a commitment, even if you're hurting from making that commitment, but you still keep it. Because Jesus Christ, his commitment to dying for sinners, it was painful, but he still went through with it. But your word says that a great reward came for him at the end. So Father, give us the grace not to focus on the here and now, but to stick to the commitments we have made to you. And Lord, as we do so, Lord, let all be well with us. I commit this week that is coming up into your hands. I pray that your strength, your grace, your peace, and your blessings will be our portion. Prosper the works of our hands, Lord, and keep us from all evil, and keep us in your love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. For those that have surrendered their lives to Christ, or if you've not taken God seriously, I'll encourage you to do three things. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. It's titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you things to do to grow in your walk with God. Number two, find a Bible translation you understand. I strongly recommend for most people the New Living Translation. Read it. Meditate on it. So think about what you've just read. Look at your life, write down action steps. Examine your life like, man, where am I falling short concerning this word? Write down action steps. Follow those action steps. And you'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then the third thing you should also do is find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. Many places that call themselves churches, but they're not Bible-believing. They preach things that are inconsistent with the Word of God. They have all these New Age thoughts on marriage, on gender, and all these things that are not in line with Scripture. That's not a place you want to be. So fellowship with other believers, read the Word, obey it, right? And you'll see your life take a turn for the better. Until the next episode, have a wonderful day. God bless you. Shalom. Have a blessed week.